want to just give you a quick word before I go into the Word of God tonight. During our services this year, God said one thing to us through two of his servants, Pastor Pentecost, Pastor Ladeshelu. He said to us two things. Number one, he said this. He said, your testimony will give birth to testimonies. How many of you have had a testimony since when the year began? Have you had one testimony? Have you had one testimony? We heard good testimonies tonight. And what God said to us is this, that your singular testimony, if you had a testimony in January or February or March, April, May, June, July, to this day now, from Megacon onwards, that testimony shall give birth to more testimonies in Jesus' name. So God is set to do more things in your life. Before this year is over, you shall see more testimonies in Jesus' name. Your testimony, singular, will give birth to more testimonies, plural. Someone say amen. Amen. Say amen. 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 God will give you testimonies. Then the second thing he said to us was this, that when they raise the bar on your necessities or on the cost of your necessities, like things like fuel, things like tomatoes, things like oil. If you don't hear me in the back, let me change. Petrol don't go up. Petrol, okay? When there is a price of petrol and oil and tomatoes, okay? When they raise the price, we tend to think, oh, let's use less. You say, okay, I'll stop making stew with tomatoes, tomatoes, oil. I'll just use tatashe and smolting tomatoes. Didn't know I knew that, Abby. Okay. When they raise the bar on necessities, God says, I am your provider. I will raise the bar on my provision. So if they raise your necessity, God will raise his provision. You are not going to go down in Jesus' name. He will raise you up in the name of Jesus. He will provide for you because he is the provider. He says, people, we say that God owns the cattle on a thousand hills or the cattle on the hilltop. You say, yes, God owns the thousand cattle on the hilltop. But the truth is what the word says, he owns the cattle on a thousand hills. So he owns everything, and he will provide for you in Jesus' name. So don't worry about the price of the naira. God will do what he must do in Jesus' name. Don't worry about the price of anything. God will take care of you in the name of Jesus. Someone say amen. Amen. I want to encourage you with those few words by God's grace. Then I want to go into the word of God now for the next 40 minutes. I want to share with you for the next 40 minutes. I want to give you a topic about enjoying the benefits of the cross. Okay, so I want to call this one From Messed Up to God's Grace. Someone say, From Messed Up to God's Grace. Or another way to say it is, From Messed Up to Graced Up. Someone say, Graced Up. You may have messed up, but God has raised his grace up. Amen? Pastor Chima. Amen. Now, here's how it works. God has a plan for you, and his plan will never, ever, ever be thwarted. So what I have for you today, I've got my entire message. I put it as a little book. Tomorrow, we will have it up as a QR code. You can just download it free of charge. Okay, I'll give it to you free of charge. As you want, okay? Can you guys help me? I need to be able to hear clearer on this sound. If Pastor Chima, help me, please. I can't hear clearly on that. Okay. All right. So you get it tomorrow by God's grace. Amen. Now, how many say, from messed up to graced up? Messed up to graced up. Let's talk about this for a second, okay? How many of you here have ever made a mistake before? Okay, two of you. Some of you are perfect. Okay, how many of you here are perfect? That means you are perfect. Raise your hand, you are perfect. Okay, so we've made mistakes before, correct? Okay, now if you made a mistake before, then you are in the same boat as me. So I'm going to share with you today in threes. I will share with you three chapters of the book. I will share with you three things to remember. I will share with you three stories. I will share with you three ideas. So together today, we're going to preach together. Is that okay with you? We'll preach together. We will sing together. We will illustrate together. We'll talk together. We'll even dance together if you want, okay? All right, so here's the first thing I want to start with, okay? Everyone has messed up because we're all in the same boat. And the benefit of the cross that we need to understand is this, that Christ has come to take our mess up and replace our mess up with his grace. I love the words we heard this morning. This morning, Bishop Fiano shared with us that Christ has paid for everything. How many things? Everything. He has paid for it all, which means I no longer have to pay. And then Bishop Wale shared that because Christ has paid, no one can curse you. Nobody can curse you because you have been forgiven, you have been redeemed, and you have been healed. Someone say amen. Amen. So all of these things are benefits of the cross. And I want to add the next benefit, which is that there is grace at the cross. Someone say grace. Grace. Someone say grace.
Grace.
Okay, so here is what grace does. Grace makes me what I was not before. Let me explain. I asked you here who has messed up before. And most of us have. Okay? I'll tell you the first story. I'll tell you three stories today. The first story is this one. I told you we're talking in threes. The first story is of me when I was 5 years old. Okay? I was 5 years old and I just discovered matches. Okay? You know what matches are, right? Matches. Okay? So one day I saw the cook in the kitchen cooking with matches. And I saw how he would strike it and he put it there and everything would go. I said, okay. So when he left the kitchen, I went to the kitchen. Stop laughing now. So I carry the matches. Now, I didn't want to play in the kitchen because the people would see me there. So I carried it and I went under the steps. Now, under the steps is where we happen to keep our Christmas decorations. This was about January or so. So we just passed Christmas. And in those days, I was 5 years old or so. I won't tell you my age. Okay, so we had paper decorations. So here I am now, and I'm sure your mind's already going ahead of me. I'm playing with matches. Let me come down. I'll throw it away. I struck one, and it just so happened that as it was coming down to my fingers, I threw it away, and it fell inside the box of paper Christmas decorations. So as a five-year-old, what would I do? What did I do? Don't know. I ran! Fire! Fire! How many of you remember that fella song? Your mother told you not to play with fire. Hey, you poor not born. You are not born again. I thought you would sing. We'll sing together. Don't worry. Okay, so what happened? So I ran away out of fear. Instead of trying to put it out, I just ran. As I'm running, I'm saying, fire, fire, shouting, screaming. So the box catches fire, the steps go up, and I'm thinking, oh, I've messed up. The house will be destroyed. Thankfully, people were there. They went in, put the fire out and everything. So that evening, wife was laughing now. Daddy came home. Everybody's father has a red belt. You know me, we're together. That evening, my father's red belt had a conversation with my... They discussed. Okay, now, but let me tell you that. So, I messed up, and we've all messed up, have we not? At different points. Now, your mess up might be different from my mess up, okay? But let me tell you about the first person who really messed up. The first person in the Bible that messed up was Adam. Adam messed up. God gave him everything, said, look, everything is here, eat, take all you want, just don't touch this one. And of course, you know, children, all of us were the same. It's the one they say don't touch that you want to touch. So Adam goes and he takes it from his wife. Okay? and he takes a big bite. Now, Adam messed up so bad that he thought he had to hide from God. So here's what happens. So in the cool of the evening, that evening, God comes down and God asks, Adam, where are you? I said this before, I heard this from Bishop Bronner. Bishop Dave Bronner said, anytime God asks you a question, it's not because he's looking for information. Are you hearing me? It's not because God wants information. God is not saying, okay, I'm asking Adam, where are you? Because he doesn't know where God is. God knew where Adam was. God is asking the question because he wants you to ask yourself a question. So he said, Adam, where are you? And Adam is saying, I am hiding. Why are you hiding? Because I messed up. Now, there were other people in the Bible who messed up, okay? Let me tell you about people that God asked questions. God asked a question of Elijah. Elijah had just finished fighting the prophets of Baal, and he runs and hides in the cave. And so God sends a wind, God sends all this, and then God sends a still small voice, and God asks, say, Elijah, what are you doing? And he's hiding. Someone who had just seen God's great power is hiding. What are you doing? Not because God didn't know, but God is saying, what are you really doing? Where are you? Are you following me this evening? Are you still with me, please? Okay? He was hiding. Also, God asked a question of Saul. Saul was persecuting Christians. And so he sees a bright light, and God asks him a question. What are you doing? Isn't it difficult to keep on kicking your foot against the bricks? Because you won't really hurt the bricks, you hurt yourself. Follow me, please. When God asks you a question, it's not because he doesn't know the answer, it's because he wants you to know and ask yourself that question, okay? But here's the good thing. When Adam messed up, God did not just destroy him. We say, okay, God cursed Adam. But if you read the Bible, you see that God did not curse Adam. God cursed what? The ground. So follow me for a minute, because there was grace still coming. Grace is a benefit of the cross. So the thing I want to take from this first chapter is this. There's a lesson that parents always teach their children, okay? And you know it. It's a lesson for my matches. The lesson is what? Don't play with fire. That's lesson number one. Don't play with fire, okay? Because fire will burn you. And sometimes when you do things that mess up, it's like playing with fire. And the fire, if you're not careful, it will burn you, will burn your friends, burn your neighbors, burn different things. But there's grace for you in Jesus' name. Okay, now follow me for a second. Number two. Chapter two is this. Chapter two says, grace is God's answer to your mistakes. So what's grace? Grace is getting that favor or getting that thing that I don't deserve. So what did God do with me when I made a mistake? When God saw Adam, he didn't curse him, he cursed the ground. When God saw people making mistakes, he didn't curse them. He always found a way to find us an answer. So here, stay with me for 1 minute again. The second part is this. Somebody else in the Bible messed up. She was a woman who was caught in adultery. One day, God was in the temple, and they bring a woman to him. And they are pointing at her, say, oh, she has been caught doing the wrong thing. Now, here's what happens. Everybody knows she's married, so she has messed up her life with fire, messed up the other person's life with fire, and now everyone knows her. Everyone who knows her knows you, knows everyone. Say, ah, that's what you have been doing since. And there's, he said, God, don't catch up. Every day for the thief, one day for the... See, people, no grace in your life. I'm joking. Here's what happens, okay? So they come and they begin to throw. They say, look, we must stone her. Jesus, what should we do? Here's the thing you must understand, okay? Every time you sin and make a mistake, the devil wants you to feel shame. That's all he wants. So here she was feeling shame. So they were pointing to her and her mistake. And what did Jesus do? Jesus did not point to her. So listen. He says to them, first of all, who here is without sin? Throw the first stone. So he takes their fingers that are pointing to her, points the remaining four at them, So one by one, they drop their stones. And then he does an interesting thing. He points to himself. He says, "Where are your accusers?" And she looks around. And one by one, every stone has dropped. And he says, "Look at me. Nobody condemns you, neither do I." So here's what happens. When we mess up, the devil points at your sin. Christ points you to himself. He says, "I'm not here to condemn you." So I'll take you to my first scripture, which you have not heard about, which is this one. You all know this verse very well, so I won't put it on the screen. John 3:16. You know the verse very well, correct? What does John 3:16 say? Let's read together. "For God so..." Don't put it on the screen. Don't put it on the screen. They know it. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so that should not perish but have everlasting life." Now here's the verse we don't know. The next verse is the one we always don't quote. Put that on the screen. John 3:17. "For God did not send his son into the world to do what? To condemn the world, but to save the world through..." Make sense? So when they're pointing at you, he doesn't join them to say, "Oh, look at you. I saw you. Look at you. I know what you did." No, they point at their sin and he points to himself. "For God did not send his son to the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved." So if you are here and you think you messed up, 17 is for you. If you are here and you think you made a mistake before, 17 is for you. If you are here and you say, "Oh, I don't believe that's what happened," verse 17 is for you. Now, if you know the story of David, when David messed up with Bathsheba, they would tell us, go and read Psalm 51, which points to all the things that David did wrong and says, "Oh, a broken and contrite spirit you will not condemn." But really, the verse you should be talking about when you sin is verse 17. "For God did not send his son to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved." I'm coming now. Stay with me for another minute, okay? So the woman at the well, the woman at the temple messed up. Let me tell you two other people that messed up, okay? Number one was her. Number two was Peter. Peter, you know very well, right? Peter is the disciple that was making noise. Every time there was any wahala, Peter would show up. He was the boisterous one. The one that even said, "Who are you?" Said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." So if anybody knows Peter, anybody knows Jesus, it's who? Peter knows Jesus. When they came to arrest Jesus, Peter goes, carries his sword, okay? And he cuts off the priest's servant's ear. And Peter is the one that you would say, "Okay, yes, for sure. When there's any problem, call Peter." Okay, how many of you have a Peter in your life? That when there's wahala, you call Peter, Peter will shout for you. When there's any trouble, you can't shout, just bring Peter. Peter will say, "Hey, who are you?" Peter will pull his hair tie. Peter will insult those that you cannot insult. Do you have any friend like that?
Yes, 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 yes.
If you don't know anybody like that, maybe you are the one that's the person that insults people. So Peter should know Jesus Christ, right? Yes, but then all of a sudden now, Peter, the one that's bold. One small girl comes and says, "Hey, were you not like this? Were you not with Jesus?" Big, bold man. "Me? Jesus? How? Tufiakba." Someone says, "Hey, no, you were with him." Peter says, "Come, even a joke."
"You are swearing."
Stop him. A third person says, "No, you were with him. Now we saw you. See your picture." The guy carried his phone. "See, look at you. You're on Facebook. You're on Instagram. See, TikTok. You're with Jesus Christ. You're doing TikTok dance." Say, "Give me the phone. Give me the phone. Give me the phone." "Hey, don't fall. I don't know him." So Peter, that knows Jesus Christ, denies him not once, not twice, but three times. Messed
up. And then the Bible says that as he denies the third time, the cock crows. And then Peter looks across the courtyard and his eye jams Jesus' eye. And right there, he just breaks down. I betrayed Jesus. I messed up. But Peter comes back to Jesus. And before Jesus dies, Christ calls Peter, the same one who denied him, the same one who did all these things, and said, Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. The same one that denied him. Grace brought Peter back. Grace brought Peter back. And grace can bring you back. Because you are thinking, oh, I've made a mistake with Jesus. I've messed up. The thing I said I would not do, I've done. Because I don't know about you, but before in my life, in those days, I would say, oh, God, if I do it again, God, please. Or you say, God, I'm in trouble now. Please, God, if you just get me out of this wahala today, lie, I will never do it again. And then God gets you out of the wahala. And you are, the next day, you enter the same wahala again. Anybody like that? Was it only me? Okay, two of us. The rest of you are just perfect. Here's my point, okay? Now, here's what grace does. Grace says several things. I'm going to tell you three things that Christ says to you. Three things, okay? The first one is this. He told the woman that when she came to the temple, he said, after he said, I don't condemn you, he said this. He said, woman, go and sin no more. So the first thing that Christ says to you, I want you to remember is this. He says, look, number one, leave your sin. Okay? And number two is what he said to Peter, follow me, feed my sheep. And so the same Peter that grace brought out, Peter followed Jesus Christ. And so when Christ ascended, it didn't take long. The first mass crusade was held by who? Peter. And how many people got saved? 3,000. So the one who messed up is the one God said, look, he's the example of how I can use anybody who has messed up. Anyone that chooses to say, I'm leaving my sin, I'm following you. If that's you today, say, I'm leaving it. I'm following him. See, shame is what the enemy wants you to feel, but God says, no, you're not going to feel shame. He offers himself as the answer to shame. How do I know this? I know this because the Bible tells me, if you look at 2 Corinthians 5:21, he says that him who knew no sin became sin for us so that we might what? Become the righteousness of God in Christ. Now follow me. Let me show you an example. I like to illustrate. Can I borrow you? You have a very, very fine suit on. Who has a suit on here? See this fine suit. Come on, somebody. Okay. Now, he has to wear a fine suit. Who else has a suit here? Anybody quite has have a suit on? Run. Come. I hope you're okay. Come. Yeah, I like that. Hey, come. Yes, I like this. Okay. He said that's coat. Okay. All right. So here's what happened. Come now. Okay. So Christ says to you, your sin is not my problem. Okay? So Bible says, Paul is saying here that he who knew no sin, can I borrow you this? Because Christ cannot be both righteous and sinful at the same time. Okay, so he takes like, while he's not taking off his, can I borrow your jacket? You take off, do you mind? Yes, do you mind? Okay. So this is Christ with his righteousness. Follow me now. Because he wants to take on yours, he can't wear two at the same time. So he takes off his righteousness, and him that knew no sin, this is you with this sin. This is you with your sin. Christ can't be both sinful and righteous. So he has to take off his righteousness. In order to make you righteous, he takes your sin, then puts on righteousness. You'll give him back, no way, no way. And so, yeah, this is a fine shout. Him who knew no sin. Now listen. The devil wants to point to every mistake you've made. I was there when you messed up. You know why he was there? Because he was the one telling you to mess up. And as soon as you mess up, say, hey, look at you. Which kind of devil be this now? So the thing you are ashamed of, Christ now does not just remove it, he becomes it. Try it if possible. Don't worry. If it's here, then
as a sin does not fit.
Sin does not fit you. Oh, hey, come on. Leva, leva. I like that. So see that. But catch this. The thing you are ashamed of in your life. Oh, I made a mistake. I messed up. I stole. I ate this. Maybe you mess up your marriage. Maybe you mess up in academics. Maybe you mess up whatever it is you messed up in. That thing you are ashamed of, Christ not only take it away, he became it. So that you can become what he is. Hallelujah. It's not what he was, but it's what he is. So therefore, if Pastor Frida comes in now, she's looking for who is wearing that fine suit. She won't see this one wearing the fine suit. She will see him wearing the fine suit. In the same way when God looks down on us, and you say, oh God, I messed up. God, I'm so sorry. Oh! And he says, I'm not seeing you. I'm seeing my son's righteousness. I'm seeing my son's life. I'm seeing my son's grace. Everything my son is what you are. That's what grace does. Grace says, I don't see you for what you used to be. I see you for who I am. So God says to you, number one, leave your sin. Because you can't wear sin and wear righteousness. Leave your sin. Let me become sin. You become my righteousness. And then God says to you, come, this comes out. He says, follow me out. You see, the only person that can take you out of darkness is one who has light. So if NEPA takes light now, after you shout up NEPA, you then look for who has light. Because whoever has light is who you will follow. So Christ says to the woman who was caught in adultery, follow me out. Hold your hand. Hold that. Hold his hand. To Peter, he says, follow me out. Because I will save you. Come, come, come. That's why you now leave the ground and you are now seated with Christ in heavenly places by Christ Jesus. Does that make sense now? Number one, leave your sin. Number two, follow me out. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now please give him back his jacket, I beg. You're not that sure. Help me clap for them. Clap for them, please. Clap for them, please. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay. 1 Peter 2, verse 9 says what? For you are a chosen generation. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. You are a royal priesthood. Why? Not because of what you did, but why did? A holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. So it says, follow me out. Follow me out. That's the second thing that Christ says to you. So in chapter 1, he says to us, in chapter 1, leave your sin. In chapter 2, where grace is God's answer, he says, follow me out. See, God never tells you to do anything that he's not ready to do with you. So follow me out of your sin. Follow me out of your mistakes. Follow me out of that. Now, the third person that messed up was Judas. Judas was also part of the crew of Jesus. Judas also messed up. But what did Judas do? I can tell you with 100% certainty that if Judas said, Jesus, I'm sorry, that Christ would have forgiven him. But his guilt made him go and kill himself. Now, this is very important, because the second thing I want to tell you that your parents taught you, every parent tells you this: don't talk to strangers. So in the Garden of Eden, when the first Adam messed up, the stranger there was the serpent. And the serpent spoke, and they listened. Don't talk to strangers. But in this day and age, the stranger many times can be in your head. And it can be your own voice. Now, how many of you have ever watched a football game, right? Watched a football game before, right? When you watch a football game, there's always somebody talking. That's the commentator. He's always talking. And the commentator, if it's Nigeria playing against Japan, and the commentator is a Nigerian, he will always talk good about the Nigerian team and bad about the Japanese team, correct? Okay? If the commentator is Japanese, he will talk bad about the other team, but the Nigerian team, talk good about his team. Because there's always a voice that's commenting. And you need to choose which voice you hear. Listen very carefully, please. When you are going through life, the voice in your head will either be on your side or be against you. Now, let me tell you this one, please. Any voice, any person or anything that accuses you and condemns you is a stranger. If they say they're a pastor and they're condemning you for your sin and they're not pointing you to Christ, that person is a stranger. Even if the voice is in your head telling you that you are not good enough, that voice is a stranger. Because the Bible tells in the book of Romans that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Follow me. You must listen to the voice of the one that is telling you, follow me out. So I want to give you today, very quickly, I need about 10 more minutes. Put 10 minutes on the clock, please. The thing that God wants to tell you, if you are here and you don't know Jesus Christ, I want to just quickly give you a chance to know him right now. Right now, right now, right now. We'll pause for you. And you say three things. Number one, I messed up. Number two, Jesus, forgive me. All again, threes. I messed up. Jesus, forgive me. And number three, say, I'll follow you. Okay? So I want to ask you right now, if you are here in this crowd or you're watching on TV and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, you're not sure that if you die right now, you will go and be with him, right now, I want to give you a chance, okay? Raise your hand wherever you are. If you're not sure, if you don't know Jesus Christ, just raise your hand, raise your hand, raise your hand. You say, I don't know about this new life, this new jacket. I don't know about it. Raise your hand, raise your hand, raise your hand. Anybody? I see some over there. Thank you. God bless you. I see some over there. We're going to just say three things. The first one is, I messed up. Okay? It's not a very long prayer. Just say, I messed up. All of us say together, say, I messed up. Number two, Jesus, forgive me. That's it. Number three, I'll follow you. That's it.
I'll follow you.
If you can say those words, he will bring you into his kingdom.
Hallelujah.
Because he has light. And you
yes.
Follow the one who has light. Okay? So the third, that takes me now to chapter 3. Chapter 3 is called Jesus Offers You More. Okay? Jesus offers you more. And I'll give this to you tomorrow. You get the book. You can download it free of charge, okay? It's a PowerPoint outline. Jesus offers you more. Let's go to the Word of God. Someone that messed up was the thief on the cross. Okay? So here was Christ on the cross in between two thieves. And one is here, one is there. And the one is saying to him, oh, look at you. Save yourself. See you, what low sheep. Save yourself now. And then, why save yourself? Please save us too. I beg, don't vex, sir. And the other guy says, hey, what's wrong with you? This guy has done nothing wrong. We deserve to be here. And so they exchange words, and Jesus says to him, today, you will be with me in paradise. So I can imagine now that thief dies, and he goes straight to heaven's gates, and he sees Angel Gabriel, or Angel Michael, or Angel Oluwatosin. An angel says to him, excuse me, what are you doing here? He says, I don't know, I just came. He said, no, who are you? What are you doing here? He said, I just came. And the Gabriel says, okay, what do you know about sanctification? He said, I don't know anything about sanctification. That guy told me to come. He said, what do you know about justification? I don't know. He told me to come. He said, no. What do you know about the grace that delivers and does this and that? Said, I don't know. That guy said I should come. Which guy? That guy. Which guy? That guy. So he just says, help me now. Who is your guy? Who is your guy? Who is your guy? Who is your guy? And Jesus at the cross looks up to angel and says, not only me.
See, you are not born again.
You are not born again. I love you, Agape Force. Thank you. These people, they are too saved here. Help me again. Angel says to him, say, which guy? That guy. Which guy? That guy. Which guy? They say, okay, who is your guy? And Jesus answers and says, Naole mi wala. Hey! See, as we dead like bees and rice, I will never leave your side. I will never. Hey! Even though we. Yes, so. Hold on. You know why it's important? I love you guys. People here, you are too born again here. Says he who wants to come to God must first believe that he is, and that he's the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So the guy that says, Jesus Christ, I messed up. Jesus, forgive me. I'll follow you. That person, Jesus says, I'm your guy. Will be like beans and rice. In fact, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You didn't know that the guy was reading from the Bible. You didn't know. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Because I will be with you from now even to the end of the age. I will be your G for life.
So, my time is going. Chapter 3. Jesus offers you more. More than any man can offer you. Man will not be with you for life, oh. Because as soon as you mess up, they will deny you fame. They will leave you sharp, sharp. But Jesus, even in your mess, while we were yet sinners, he came and he died for us, for me. Inside my sin, he was there. He saw me do this sin. He still says, I love you. How? He saw Peter mess up. He still gave Peter responsibility. You are thinking that your mistake is too much for God. You are not that powerful to make God leave you. It's not possible. He says, follow me. I'm your guy. I will offer you more. And so what does Jesus Christ say to the person who has messed up? Go to John 14, verse 11. Because here's the thing you must understand, okay? If you ever want to know what God thinks about any situation, look at Jesus. Jesus says, I came to show you the Father. I came to show it. So if you see me, you see the Father. So if you want to know what does God think about sin, look at Jesus. What does God think about your mistakes? Look at Jesus. That's a benefit of the cross. So he says here, believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe the evidence of the work in themselves, okay? But here's the part I want you to understand. To you who has messed up, he says to you, verily, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing and will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. Listen, going to the Father means what? He's going to die. Okay? He's going to the cross. So the benefit of the cross, besides grace, is that if he dies, you can do greater things than he has done. Please stay with me now. This is the climax of the message, okay? Listen to that. If you go again now to John 16, verse 7. In John 16, verse 7, it says, look, the fact of the matter is this, okay? That it is good for you I am going away. I must die. Unless I go away, the counselor or the comforter or the advocate will not come. But if I go, I will send him to you. Now, God is the Father. Jesus Christ is the Son, Holy Spirit is the Comforter, but all three are the same person. So Jesus Christ, who is the Comforter, says, I must go so that I will send you another me. Are you with me, please? If I go, I will send you another version of me that will be inside you. And if he enters you, you will become like me because he will teach you everything that I am. So whatever he is in heaven and I am on earth, when I go to the cross, the benefit is this. I will go and you will become like me. Are we together? Are we together? Okay? So the last thing that Jesus Christ says in chapter 3 is this. Be like me. Be like me. Okay, what does that mean? The last story I'll tell you is the one of Bentin the Hosa. Papa Bentin the Hosa had heard his pastor say, greater works than these you will do. Heard his pastor say that you will raise the dead. So he asked his pastor, have you raised the dead? He said, no, I have not. He said, but is it possible? He said, yes, it's possible. He said, okay, good. So he went around town that afternoon. I'll give you the short version. Went around town looking for houses and was shouting, anybody die for here? Anybody die for here? Which didn't make any sense. But he got to the house of our present archbishop. And it wasn't her. She didn't die. It wasn't her. Don't worry. And they were crying because somebody in that house had died that morning. And so he went and said, someone died. He said, hey, praise God. Someone died. What's wrong with you? He said, don't worry. Let me pray for her. And so she was there. She saw the girl. And so he goes into the room. Says, where is she? She's over there.
And he prays for her because he says that, look, greater works. If you raise the dead, I can raise the dead. So he prays for her and nothing happens. He said sweat began to pour down from his head. He prayed again, nothing happened. Hey. Then he opened his Bible and he saw where the Bible says, Talita Kumi. Little girl arise. So okay, her name must be Talita Kumi. So he goes and asks mama, he says, what's her name? He says, her name is Inwata. Am I correct? So he goes back to the room and says, okay, Inwata, in the name of Jesus, I command you, rise. And like that, the girl wakes up. I love you, Paul. Let me push to you. And so she wakes up. And she wakes up. And everyone's rejoicing. That girl is still alive today. She has children. But here's the part I want you to understand, okay? I did this last year, but I won't do it again because of time. What you understand is this. That Christ offers you more. He says to you now, greater works than I have done will you do if I go away. So in the midst of your mistakes, you can do greater. In the midst of you being nothing, you can do greater. Okay, why? Because the Bible says, and in Christ, stay with me for a minute, okay? In Christ dwells the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. So the benefit of the cross is this, that Christ has everything God has. And I read that Watchman Nee said this. Stay with me for a minute. Watchman Nee said this. He said, look, the fullness of God's very substance dwells in Christ and bodily. He is all-inclusive, all-comprehensive, the Son of God's love, the image of God, the firstborn of creation, the firstborn from the dead, the Redeemer, and the Godhead. All of that dwells in God. Now, God put all of that into Christ. Christ now dwells where? Where? In your weak body, Christ dwells. In your sin, Christ dwells. Because your sin is now gone. And he has given you righteousness. So because of his righteousness, you have everything he has. So now, you are the redeemed. You are the firstborn of the dead. You are the firstborn of creation. You are the Redeemer. You are the Godhead. Everything that God has dwells in Christ, and Christ dwells in you. So therefore, what God can do, you can do. So we're going to test it right now as we close. Please help me stand. If you cannot, not the bishops, please stand. We're going to pray for someone near you. Because Christ is the healer. Guess what? You are the healer. Christ is the redeemer, so you can redeem. Are you following me, please? Because in Christ, Colossians 2 verse 9, in Christ dwells the fullness of the Godhead, of the deity in bodily form. So, Christ is a healer. Nobody should leave here sick tonight. You will be healed in Jesus' name. Why? Because there's a healer standing next to you. So, raise your hand, touch that person. Ask them what they need prayer for. Don't be shy. What do you need prayer for? And you're going to pray, and they will be healed. Their prayers will be answered. Because in Christ dwells the fullness. And that fullness has chosen to enter me. And so, in my weak, frail state, he's in me. Now, wait, hold on. Have you heard what they said? Did you ask them a question? Okay, so now we are going to pray. And healing will come in Jesus' name. Why? Because the benefit of the cross was that when he went away, his fullness entered you. His life entered you. His power entered you. So now pray with the power. Pray with the power of the Holy Ghost. Pray with the power of knowing that you are in Christ. Pray with the understanding that what God is, you are. Pray, pray, pray. Because you are wearing His righteousness. You are wearing His power. You are wearing His might. Pray. Speak to that thing right now. Maybe their mother is sick. Maybe their child is sick. Maybe they're sick. But you are going to pray and the sickness will leave in the name of Jesus. Why? Because you carry Jesus in you. Speak to blind eyes, they will be healed. Speak to deaf ears, they shall be unstopped. Speak to the lame, they will walk. Speak to whatever it is, and by the grace of God that lives in you, you will see the results in the name of Jesus. Pray, pray for 10 more seconds. Pray for 10 more seconds. Pray for 9 more seconds. Pray for 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Now say a loud amen. Say a loud amen. Say a loud amen. The benefits of the cross. Is hybrid here? The benefit of the cross. Is hybrid here? We'll just sing the chorus. Very simple, okay? The benefit of the cross is that you have life. You are now a life giver. So God carries you to a different dimension. You were looking for healing. And God not just heal you, He makes you a healer. You were looking for God to give you money. He won't just give you money. He'll make you a money Dasha. That's the benefit of the cross. Sing the chorus, the chorus, the chorus. We enjoy the benefit of the cross. You will enjoy the benefit of the cross. The benefit is life. The benefit is healing. The benefit is you are a healer. The benefit is grace. The benefit is all that God is, you are. Okay, so let's sing, I enjoy. Sing the sing chorus, go, sing chorus, sing it, sing it back on. Let's go. Chorus, 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 chorus. Chorus, 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 yes. Come on, now sing it, sing it. Chorus now. Benefits of the cross. Okay? It's very simple, okay? What are the benefits of the cross? We're going to close that. I'm going to close up, okay? The benefit of the cross is this. Christ said, if I go away, I will send another me. So that when that other me comes, that other me will make you like me. Rolling, okay. A little bit down. Okay, now sing.
Benefits of the cross.
Sing so we can hear, yes? Okay.
Twale for my Jesus, 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 okay. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. So I enjoy.
tell somebody I'm enjoying benefits.
The benefits of the cross, it goes twilight for my Jesus, 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 Jesus.
One more time.
Jesus, Jesus, we go. I enjoy all the benefits of the cross. Say, I enjoy all the benefits of the cross. It's twilight for my Jesus, 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 Jesus.
We're going to pray. You can sing it very softly in the background. Sing it slowly and soft. We're going to pray. The benefit of the cross is that everything God is, I am. The benefit of the cross is that because He went away, I can become like Him. The benefit of the cross is that because He is a healer, I am a healer. The benefits, and the biggest benefit is this. He sent the Holy Spirit to make you what He is. So your sin, your mistake, your problems, what you used to be is not what He cares about. What He cares about is what He is. So I'm going to pray for you, and you're going to pray for yourself that God, everything you are, make me, because I am. So I pray for you today in the name of Jesus, and I speak to you wherever you are, that you are no longer looking for healing, you are healed in Jesus' name. You are a healer in the name of Jesus. I pray for you right now, wherever you are, that you will be everything that God is. You will no longer be on the floor, but you are now raised with Christ into life. Therefore, you are a life giver. Mama said your pocket ache is gone in the name of Jesus. I'm praying for you right now that your headache is gone in Jesus' name. I'm speaking to every back pain. I'm speaking to everything that tried to hold you down. As a benefit of the cross, you are healed. You are whole in the name of Jesus. But it's not me speaking. It's the Christ in you that's speaking. So if Christ can be sick, you can be sick. If cancer cannot live in Christ, cancer cannot live in you in the name of Jesus. Say, I'm healed, I'm a healer, I have life, I'm a life giver. May God bless you, may God keep you, may God cause His face shine upon you, may He lift His countenance towards you, and may He give you peace in Jesus' name, amen.
Somebody celebrate Jesus.
We believe you have been blessed by this ministration from CGMI MegaCon 2023, hosted by Archbishop Margaret Benson Edahosa. We encourage you to listen to other powerful and life-transforming messages by other speakers. Visit our website at cgmi-megacon.org to see our verified links to other digital platforms where you can download and listen to the audio messages. Remain blessed and focused on Christ always.